Travel and Lifestyles Programming. This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. In the studio with Stephen Pickford, Willem Backus, and a special guest once again on the phones, Dave.
Yes, our chief correspondent, Canada's Centennial Anchorman himself, Vic Phillips. Welcome back to Travel World, Vic.
Thank you, Stephen. Good talking to you and my pal Willem again. I've been on the road a lot, and I assume you have too, because we're always flying around somewhere, aren't we?
There's always somewhere to go, and you were over in London, England, and in Cardiff, Wales. Flew there aboard Air Canada, which is one of our favorite airlines, and really undergoing a renaissance under new executive leadership, Calin Rovinescu, Duncan Dee, putting a good show together, customer relations oriented, a great airline to fly, particularly for our American listeners, connecting via the Toronto hub.
Well, it is my favorite airline, and I flew to London's Heathrow Airport with Air Canada in early March. And I'd recommend that everyone splurge and fly executive class at least once in your life. Now, they call these things pods in the executive class. They're luxurious seats, really. They're more than a seat. You can stretch out and sleep in the fully flat beds. The pods could be adjusted to your comfort level. And it can sleep a person well over 6 feet tall, like me or Willem. Now, I was totally refreshed by the time we got to London. There's no jet lag when you're in one of those pods. It's like spending a night in a good hotel. Now, Stephen, you know your planes. I'm not great on airplane types, but the plane I was in was wide enough to feel you're in a huge room.
It's probably the 777 to Heathrow from Toronto that you took with the pods, and they were kind of diagonally placed.
Yeah.
That was an awesome experience, especially with the video monitor that can flip in for you, and lots of place to put all your personal effects and so on. So, and you are truly isolated in one of these pods. So, yeah, I know exactly the hotel experience.
And the food. I'm just looking at the mouth-watering menu right now. I mean, it was just fantastic. It was scallops and steak and lamb and all tremendous sorbets and minestrones. And, oh, it was just wonderful. The only thing missing is an exercise room to burn off some of the calories.
That would be the airport, making you go from one end of the terminal to the other one.
Yeah.
Although it's a lot easier now that everything is pretty well... all in one place there in Terminal 1 in Toronto. They've more or less finished all their construction. The time we went years ago, they had the old Terminal 2, and they had the Terminal 2 Annex, and what they used to call the old ATCO Trailer Shed Terminal. And now everything is central and well-organized at Terminal 1 Toronto Pearson Airport for the Air Canada connections.
It's well done. I mean, I was just there last week flying in Montreal to Toronto, Denver, Vegas. And they make it relatively smooth to get through, and it's all in one place.
Right. Now, I guess we all know that Air Canada is this country's largest airline, and they have service to 912 destinations in 160 countries. Now, many airlines have gone bankrupt, but this one is a survivor. Stephen, can you name some of the airlines we've flown in the past few years who have gone belly up?
Oh, boy, Nation Air and Eastern Airlines, and a lot of them have, Midwest Express is now part of Republic Airways, branding itself now as Frontier, the old Value Jet, the mergers. Oh, I think I must have souvenirs here in my basement from many over the years. But Air Canada has reemerged after a couple of years ago under the Canada, the reorganization, the Canadian equivalent of Chapter 11 has reorganized itself and brought in a new management team. And it's not the old Air Canada where it was like a lot of Canadians complain about them. Now they're really proactive and going after a high standard of customer service. If our American listeners are used to sort of that substandard, flying becoming like taking a bus in the skies, Air Canada has done a good job of making flying still a pleasurable experience.
And now, Air Canada serves over 33 million customers annually. That's a lot. And it's the 14th largest commercial airline in the world. Now, I know this sounds like a big infomercial, but the proof is in the pudding. It was recently voted by the readers of Business Travel Magazine as offering the best in-flight services in North America. It's also the best airline for business class service on the continent. And from journalists like ourselves, the Air Canada magazine En Route was awarded this prestigious Magazine of the Year award by the Canadian Society of Magazine Editors. So it was strictly a no-brainer for me to choose Air Canada when I wanted to go to London. And by the way, I almost forgot, in both Toronto and London, I enjoyed their hospitality lounges at both airports. Excellent meals and beverages, and I even had a shower at their lounge in London, which left me in fine condition for my next few weeks in Wales and England.
Yeah, that Heathrow shower experience is definitely one of the big highlights of the experience with Air Canada, and I can vouch from personal experience that Air Canada has given probably among the best service of any of the airlines I've flown. I did 125 flight sectors last year alone. This year I'm up to already 53 flight sectors, and we're not even into May.
Right.
And all of that was on the Star Alliance network, and Air Canada, of course, far and away the best, not only with the videos and the seats, but also the in-flight service has been second to none, so I can totally vouch for that.
And the Maple Leaf lounges that you're talking about and the arrivals lounge at Heathrow Airport, when you compare the quality of service, the amenities offered, and the helpfulness of the Maple Leaf lounge personnel vis-a-vis the competition, again, far away above and beyond at Air Canada. And this is also followed up by the postings you'll see on internet sites such as flyertalk.com, where the accolades continue to always be placed on in Air Canada's favor.
And it's not only the big mainline flights like London, Heathrow, Europe, and so on. Even the smaller flights. I mean, I've taken 8 trips now in the last few months to Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and even flown the Beechcraft. I now know the co-pilot by his first name. Point being that all through the Air Canada network, the people they're phenomenal. They're fantastic service. They're pleasant and wonderful to talk to. And the people at the Charlottetown Airport, I have to tell you, have got to be some of the most pleasant and polite people anywhere in North America. So that's my endorsement of Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island.
Right. And the whole purpose of my trip was to attend our annual Travel Writers Conference in Cardiff, Wales. And one of the highlights for me was a visit to the town Hay-on-Wye. It's a town filled with bookstores, the bookshop capital of the world. And former President Bill Clinton referred to a book festival there as the Woodstock of the Mind.
Now, Vic, how many copies of the Heroin Merchants did you find there?
I actually found several copies of the Heroin Merchants and my first novel, Clowns Wear Guns. And
they hadn't opened the box they sent from the publisher?
Yeah, I know. I actually bought some. I got a good deal on my own books.
You know what? Tell us a bit more about that, because book fairs and book publishing conferences are something near and dear to my heart. It's regardless of how computerized we get with the Kindles and the iPads and so on, there's just nothing like getting a good book and sitting down and spending some time with it.
Oh, yeah. You know, Willem, over the years, I enjoyed the books of Dylan Thomas, who was from Wales. And I visited the home where he grew up and drank at some of the many pubs he enjoyed. As you probably know, Dylan Thomas died at a very young age while visiting New York City. He on his last day, he's said to have knocked back over 30 drinks.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't a television anchorman, even.
I know. I couldn't reach 30, but I hit about 15 a couple of days.
Over a few days, Vic.
Now,
you're not that heavy a drinker.
Famous people from Wales, including Tom Jones and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Wales has over 200 golf courses, and I visited the 2010 Ryder Cup course and played on another one nearby. And this will be the first year the Ryder Cup is being played in Wales. I had some interesting experiences in Wales. I went 300 feet underground for a tour of a coal mine. Now, the miners use canaries down there to test for gas leakages.
Yep, that's what it was.
That's right, and if the canary croaks, then it's time to boot it out of there. And I stayed in a haunted castle by myself one night.
Did you sample perfume?
No.
In a haunted castle, you didn't hear about it first on the internet now, did you, in a chat room or anything?
No, nothing like that. But I heard some weird howlings and thundering horses. And I found out later the next morning at breakfast that the castle was attacked 2,000 years ago and everyone inside was slaughtered by men on horseback. And that's what I apparently heard, if you believe in that kind of thing. But I did hear horses all night long.
That really makes for a romantic type of a setting. You know, for those people who are into ghost hunting and so on, it really is quite the spooky thing.
Oh, yeah. Now, Wales is certainly a must-visit place, boys. Absolutely beautiful. And the people there are friendly as heck. They reminded me of Newfoundland. And many people from Wales I spoke with said that they can identify with Newfoundland and they like Newfoundland as their favorite part of Canada.
You know, I'm going to have to visit Newfoundland one of these days, but I'll tell you, I've never been there. But the most friendly part of Canada I've ever been to up until now has been Prince Edward Island. I mean, I'm a total fan of the thing. Vic, we're going to keep you through the break to the next segment, so stay tuned. You're listening to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. Stay listening.
You're listening to Travel World with Willem and Steve.
Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
Vacation time can mean a heartrending decision. What to do with your pet? Auberge VIP offers a unique concept in boarding facilities designed for the ultimate comfort of your best friends. From the moment of registration, a trained staff member is assigned to provide personalized attention to your pet. A variety of suite sizes are available for our canine guests, designed to provide privacy while cats enjoy a choice of multi-level apartments with a sunny southern exposure. Your pet's personal program can be tailor-made, from special diets to daily grooming and a play and exercise time each day. And it's not just luxury amenities which sets Auberge VIP apart. Auberge VIP provides for a totally enclosed environment, offering safe, sanitary conditions with personnel on duty 24 hours a day and a veterinarian on call. Auberge VIP, we invite you to call us to visit our facility and experience firsthand the care and special attention your pet deserves. Auberge VIP, a comfortable and caring atmosphere for your very important pet. Call today, 381-6653.
DiCapua's Photography. Quality professional photography services for all occasions. Let DiCapua's put their 20 years of industry experience to work for you. Entertainers and models, commercial, industrial, and aerial photography, portfolios and portraits, people, places or things, studio or on location. Your satisfaction is the focus at DiCapua's Photography. Stop in at 913 East 2nd Street, Reno, Nevada, or visit our webpage and sample our work at nav.to/DiCapua. That's DECAPUA. Call Gary at DiCapua's Photography to plan your special occasion or business photos. 329-8810. 329-8810. Capture that special moment that will last you a lifetime. DiCapua's Photography. 329-8810. You'll like what we see.
Feel the warmth the instant you step aboard the airline that takes you to more of Mexico, Latin America, and beyond. Mexicana Airlines. Whether you experience a new level of service in our executive or tourist class, whether you're traveling on business or pleasure, you'll enjoy a choice of hot entrees, open bar, and leg room to spare, all at the lowest possible fares. Come, fly with us in a world of style like no other. At Mexicana Airlines, we think the world of you.
Mexicana Airlines, amazingly close to Mexico and Latin America, with over 40 destinations to offer you in Mexico, Central and South America, and the Caribbean. Whether it's a quick getaway or an extended vacation, let Mexicana help you plan your dream vacation. Enjoy the excellent in-flight service and outstanding on-time performance. Call toll-free from the United States and Canada, 1-800-531-7921, or contact your local travel agent. Also, visit our website. Site at Mexicana.com.
Do you have trouble remembering things lately? Normally, there are a major amount of fat cells in your head, causing difficulty in oxygen reaching your brain. As we age, this condition worsens, causing memory loss, dementia, and worse. Memory loss is not random, accidental, or inevitable. It is reversible if treated properly. The all-natural, safe Ultra Memory is a result of research conducted at Harvard and leading universities. Studies show that the herb ginkgo can dramatically slow the effects of aging on memory and even improve memory function in healthy young people as well. Ultra Memory contains ginkgo in easy-to-take capsule form. Ultra Memory will help you live a full functioning life. Find out why leading researchers call Ultra Memory Brain Tonic. To try Ultra Memory risk-free, call 1-800-952-3494. Call now and save an additional 20%. 1-800-952-3494. That's 1-800-952-3494.
This is the Travel World Radio Network.
And welcome back once again to the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite. I'm Willem Backus in studio with Stephen Pickford, talking today with our special guest Vic Phillips on the line about one of my favorite topics. Not only Air Canada, my favorite airline anywhere, but also Prince Edward Island and Vic's recent trip to Wales.
And Wales, I have to mention, is only about a 2.5-hour bus ride from London, England. And that's what I visited next in London. I had a great time. I toured the site of the 2012 Olympics, and 60,000 people have been displaced from their homes, but they were well paid for their houses, and it's right in the heart of London. And many of those people will be able to return after the Olympics in 2012 to live in the new housing. Now, I was in Richmond, British Columbia last year doing stories on securities for the game, security for the games this year, and thankfully there weren't any serious problems there. But the security in London for 2012 is 10 times more serious. We all had to show our passports to security people just to get near the site. That's how concerned they are about security, even though the Olympics are 2 years away.
Your security is heightened virtually everywhere these days.
Oh, and I rode ferry boats. I had a great time in London. I rode ferry boats back and forth on the Thames River, double-decker buses in London, and I shopped at Harrod's famous store. Have you fellas been there?
I've never been there. Maybe Stephen.
Yeah, I walked through it. I didn't purchase anything, but my last trip to London, I did walk through. It's a must.
A lot of great sights to see in London. It takes a couple of weeks to see it all. I took in a play in London's West End. And I saw a great one that they tell me when it comes to New York or Toronto, when it hits Broadway, it's going to be probably one of the biggest hits in years. It's called War Horse, and it's a thrilling and spectacular production based on a novel. And the First World War is the backdrop for this tale of bravery, loyalty, and a bond between a young recruit from the Army and his horse. Anyways, it was great. I also saw Oliver, another great play. There's so much to do there, but, you know, London's a great city, but for me on this trip, I really enjoyed Wales. It was quieter, and it reminded me of my visit to Scotland a few years ago, another lesser crowded place where people really seem to be enjoying their lives on a day-to-day basis. London itself is a busy, huge metropolis, number one tourist attraction in the world, along with Paris and New York, but I still like the small towns.
Well, I think this is what makes a trip. You go fly into London on Air Canada. You can spend a few days in London and then get off into the countryside. Go to Wales. Go down to the southwest to Plymouth, and you can go up north to Scotland and use London as your base, your entry point, your international entry point to the country, and then use the extensive rail system and the extensive motor coach system to explore on your own and get that feel for the country.
That's right. And this was more of a relaxing trip for me in the past. When I was doing hard news for the CTV network, I traveled to London doing stories on terrorism, heavy crime stories. But this was more interesting, more relaxing than the old days when I was the crime reporter.
Now, would you, of all your trips to Great Britain, and what do you find, for example, the most memorable aspect of it all?
Of all the trips, well, I remember having a great time in Edinburgh. I took in the military tattoo in Edinburgh, and that was just really a heartwarming experience at the castle there. But one of the things that I really have to struggle with my memory on is I took a tour of Scotch distilleries in London, in Scotland.
Yes.
And I can't recall how many I visited. I can't recall how many drinks I had, but I know I was in a happy fog for more than a week. Scotland's another great, great country.
It's one of my dream trips is to visit Scotland. Vic, between I don't know if you went to Glasgow. You said Edinburgh, but have you been to both? And which one would you recommend for a first-time visit?
Well, Edinburgh, definitely I enjoyed. I would recommend it. In Glasgow, I found it a little bit of a rougher town, though the Glasgow people are proud of their city, and they have good reason to be. A lot of sights to see there. But it seems to be a little bit of a rougher town, whereas Edinburgh is more discreet, more refined, more theater than Glasgow. It's a gentler town.
I think Glasgow has a lot more of the industrial heritage and comes back out of the Industrial Revolution era when a lot of those factories opened up and heavy on shipbuilding and steel. And there are remnants of that. They are trying to build more of a cultural emphasis as well. A few years ago, they were a European Union capital of culture, and that brought thousands of visitors in as well.
One thing I did notice on all my trips, I mean, everybody likes the Queen and everybody likes England, but when you're in Wales and when you're in Scotland, they refer to people from London as Englanders. Everybody from England is Englanders, not British. That's what they call them, and they always tout their own country, Wales and Scotland and Ireland, over England. There's something about England, of course, it's, you know, it was the power for hundreds of years, and these people, some of them feel, you know, still feel subjugated because of their history.
Well, the way Montreal people talk about Toronto, probably. A little bit the same thing. It's almost de rigueur to, you know, when you're from one, there's the other bit of a rivalry. But certainly the people in the other countries are very, very proud of their homes. When you went up to Scotland the last time, Vic, did you fly in from London or did you take the train?
I took the train, and it was a heck of a nice ride.
What route did you take?
Now, I had some scotch on the train, so I can't recall the route.
Via Newcastle, the eastern side, or the central, or anything?
It was the central, I believe. That's right. And I had another trip to Scotland, and I went with Globus bus tours, and then we took the bus tour into Scotland, and I still remember the pipers on the hilltop piping you into their country.
Wow.
It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, I wanted to go via Newcastle as well. I mean, there's certain parts of England which are just so spectacular. Well, England, you know, UK is for Scotland as well, obviously, that are worth visiting. Now, on this recent trip to Wales that you took, what are the more interesting and more... Well, would you say there was a site that was particularly relaxing, something that says, you know what, if I go back, I got to go back and do this again?
I love the small towns of Wales, and I love the pubs and the food. And it's great walking into a pub, and everybody's watching a soccer game, and they're right into it.
Yeah.
And they're cheering, of course, for any team other than England, it seems. and they're having a ball in there, and I really got to like the people. And they bring their in Wales, they were bringing their pets into the pubs with them, something you rarely see in Canada or the U.S. And they're knocking back a good pint of ale. They really love their beers over there. I would love to go back, and I'd spend more time in the small towns, and I'd stay away from the big cities.
Now, getting around Wales, you were on a escorted tour. You were taken around by the local tourist board.
Yes, and they're fantastic. They're professional tour people, and they know so much about their country. They're all so proud of it. And yet they're big travelers themselves. Unlike some people from different countries that stay in their own area, the Welsh just are always traveling. They knew a lot about Canada. Most of them have been to the East Coast. As I say, they love the Maritimes. They like Montreal. They often don't make their way west as far as Toronto or Vancouver, but they've traveled throughout the States. They're sort of like Australians. They're world travelers. I'm always bumping into someone from Wales, even though the population's like it's under 3 million people. and it's not a huge country. It's a tiny country. Incidentally, it's one of the poorest countries in Europe because coal mining was their mainstay, their main economy. And, of course, coal mining is basically non-existent now. I mean, I did visit a mine, but there's only one or two still operating. So that's really affected the economy. And now, replacing mining, they're trying to promote tourism in Wales. And that's one of the reasons we're talking about it today.
Yeah, tourism is going to have to be the big thing for a lot of new places. I mean, I've seen many, many articles, even for state of Virginia and West Virginia, of clean burning coal. But, I mean, coal is fundamentally coal. And there's a certain amount of limited reserve, so clean energy is going to be a big, big deal. But tourism, definitely, no matter where you go, people still want to find out where things happened, where great people are from. And even us in the show, we've been doing this for almost over 20 years, going on meeting the different people from the different places we go. Like you say, you get to like the people, and that's one of the most rewarding aspects of this.
That's right. And that's one of the reasons the Ryder Cup this year is being held in Wales for the first time ever. They want to promote their golf courses, over 200 top golf courses in Wales. And they're hoping Tiger Woods brings his publicity with them.
Well, Vic Phillips, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us about Wales, telling us about Air Canada, where you can find out more at aircanada.com, and all of the United Kingdom tourism product at visitbritain.com.
Okay, fellas, and happy travels to the two of you.
Happy travels. Travel World Radio Show, across America via satellite.
Travel World will continue. Stay listening.
Travel World Radio Show, via satellite.